That is for me, gentlemen. Yes, I believe it is.
Mr. Makepeace.
I'm ready.
Follow me, sir, if you please.
Pitiful.
And him a chaplain, too.
The course will have done with him in short order, I should say, if half the report of him is true.
I have to follow so hopeless a case.
I bid you not to speak of it, Doctor.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dalziel. I've never been before a court-martial.
You have nothing to worry about.
Oh, I shall plead guilty, Captain, at once.
I do assure you, upon my word of honour.
I shall add I was sitting in the Powder magazine at the time, smoking tobacco. Wasting my medical stores and making a fraudulent return at the portable soup.
Silence there, you two!
It's only my conduct in question, after all.
Oh, I don't mean you to take offence.
Despite the nominal indictment against captain, officers and ship's company all.
But the court is celebrating victory still. The president alone looked 20 years younger when he came aboard.
I have put all that gaiety aside now, Doctor. For the occasion. And for that scrub of a chaplain.
You judge him before his time.
Let me ask you, Doctor, should you like to place your life thus between the hands of such a parcel of senior officers? Your profession and your good name?
Well, you can rely upon me, sure.
Thank you.
Though I don't doubt I shall sink you nonetheless, with such little knowledge as I have of nautical matters.
You will be very well, Doctor.
I hope so, with all my heart. For who in the world would believe my version of your story?
Come, you pretty young maiden, come hearken to me. I'll sing you a tale of the dark rolling sea, of Lucky Jack Aubrey, my song it's to be, and the prodigious might of his fiddle-dee-dee. Oh, the girls, they grieve and cry like a day, for their harbour's all empty when Jack sails away. And they'll weep and wail and pray for the sea to bring back Lucky Jack and his fiddle-dee-dee.
Master and Commander by Patrick O'Brien. Dramatized in 6 episodes by Roger Daines. Episode 1, The Question of Preferment. The year is 1800, and England is at war with Napoleon.
Finely played. Do you not think so, sir?
I believe so, yes. But let me ask you, sir, if you really must join in with the players, could I entreat you to do so in time?
In time, sir?
In time, sir.
Very well played. Well played, gentlemen.
Oh, you may now have to confine yourself to beating, sir. The harp, you see?
And Mrs. Hart to play upon it. Splendid.
The piece, sir?
Yes, the piece. The piece. The music, sir.
She looks very well.
Oh, damn it,
Bravo! Charming! Beautifully fingered!
Thank you!
Bravo.
Thank you all, gentlemen!
Yes. Technically rather difficult.
What?
That piece.
But damn well played, you must agree.
Mrs. Hart carried it off. Well.
You suggest these gentlemen give her more than her due, sir?
No, not at all. But low-cut blue satin and a double rope of pearls might weigh in the balance of their opinion.
My name is Aubrey, sir. Lieutenant Aubrey. I'm staying at the Crown.
Maturin, sir. To be found any morning at Joselito's Coffee House. May I beg you to stand aside?
Damned ill-favored son of a bitch! To give himself such airs! And I was in perfect time! Pum, 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 pum. Perfect time! And actually to nudge me during Molly's harp! Almost a blow, yes! Shall I suffer that? From a civilian, too! An affront to my professional code. Professional.
Lieutenant Aubrey.
Good morning, sir.
I expected you earlier.
Captain Hart?
There was a time, sir, when a shipless lieutenant would have swum the harbour to learn a port commandant's mind. Those days are gone, no doubt. The new breed.
Sir?
You know the Vertueuse?
I do indeed, sir. New captured, new coppered. Beautiful little French privateer.
Yes. Well, I have to tell you, Lieutenant Aubrey, your claim, the promise you claim, in short, the Vertueuse is to go to Middleton.
Middleton?
Exigencies of the service, sir.
Middleton, your secretary's brother, sir?
An officer of distinction, newly arrived from Gibraltar.
Sir?
I have taken the unusual course of giving you the news myself.
Thank you, Captain Hart.
And you may be sure, Lieutenant, of the continuance of my regard for you.
Kiss my ass. Regard. And I truckled to that thing of a secretary so his damn brother could command that. Virtually promised to me. Snapping up prizes all along the whole Spanish coast. In my place. My virtues, my glory, my personal advancement. My prize money.
17 pounds and 12 shillings. The interest.
15%, is it?
And your pay, 5 pounds, 12 shillings a month. I can well relieve the dissatisfaction of your loss, Lieutenant.
I don't ask for a further advance, Mr. Williams.
It would not be wise.
But if you were to do
what
you...
Who knows, but by quarter day you may have got your command.
Well, I can see I shall need either better luck or better interest. For my interest now is 15%. Hey, Mr. Williams? Hey?
Excellent, Lieutenant Aubrey. Just you keep a cheerful countenance, and all will come out right, I'm sure.
Sad, Teniente.
What?
Sad, poor Teniente.
Who could be sad, Mercy, with you, eh? And with those.
I will give you no letter if you be like that.
A letter? Is it worth no touch, Mercy? That's the question. What letter?
I bring him. And Captain Allen come for you.
What the devil can Captain Allen want with me? Did he say? It had best not be a subscription, that's all.
This is him. Letter for Captain John Halbray, R.N.
Damn fool to get the wrong rank. Merely makes it worse to be passed over.
Will you open it, Teniente?
Can't make it out. No hand I recognize. But at least it ain't that Williams. Damned old vulture with his 15%.
You open him and see, yes?
Mm-hmm.
By the Right Honourable Lord Keith, Knight of the Bath, Admiral of the Blue, and Commander-in-Chief of His Majesty... Whereas Captain Samuel Allen of His Majesty's sloop Sophie is removed to the palace, Captain James Bradley... You are hereby required and directed to proceed on board the Sophie and take upon you the charge and command of commander of her, willing and requiring all the officers... Hereof, nor you nor any of you may fail, as you will answer the contrary at your peril.
By God!
Not sad, Teniente?
Not sad. Not Teniente, Mercy.
Not?
Damn me if my worth's not been recognized at last. Captain Capitano, Mercy. Oh, come here.
Capitano!
Capitano!
Fine day, Captain, sir. Fine day.
Bello soleil, indeed.
Chocolata, Jabe.
Pot bagar?
Why? Mr. Maturin, good morning.
Oh, good day to you.
Oh, would you care to join me, sir? I fear I owe you 1,000 apologies for last night.
Oh, not at all, sir. Una gelata di cioccolata, Jape. Rabbia salam battuta. I am nata.
Zenia.
That must be a splendid thing, Mr. Maturin, to speak the Spanish as you do. I've often tried French and Italian too, but the fault is here, in the brain, I dare say.
Curious. A good ear for music would generally imply a facility for language.
Oh, no, no. It was the same with Latin when I was a boy.
Moriemus et in media arma uremus unicelus vitis nullum spirere salutum. Oh, Queenie, this is too difficult.
No, Jack, no, dear. Look, moriemur. You know that, don't you?
Moriemur. We die.
Subjunctive?
Oh, let us die.
Good, well done. Et in media arma roemus?
Oh, I don't know, Queenie. Really, I don't.
Oh, come now.
No, it's the foreigners. They generally understand me, but, you know, I always get thrown out by them. They speak so quick.
Aquitanian, senors.
Oh, allow me, Mr. Maturin, I beg. To make amends for last night. I'm afraid we sailors are so little used to genteel company. Good music, we're apt to get over-involved.
Oh, it's only right and proper that you should.
Yet it may be my ear is not so very famous, though I love the music dearly. So hard sometimes to pitch true upon a note.
Oh, you play then, sir?
Scrape, Mr. Maturin. Torment a fiddle from time to time.
Why, so do I make my attempts upon the cello.
Well, then we must play a duetto, whenever you have leisure, sir.
I should be honoured.
Oh, it's a rare occasion to find a new musician here in Marn. I thought I knew of everybody, even the most mediocre.
And as some I have heard are very good. The lady, for instance, who played the harp last night.
Mrs. Hart, you mean? The port commandant's wife.
Have you played with her, ever?
I have once or twice, but you know, fiddle and harp are strange companions.
Well, we must make a duetto, sure.
We must. Though, to say the truth, I can't tell when. I have just been promoted.
Oh, have you so? Well, I wish you joy of it with all my heart.
Which means I have a whole round of official calls to make still. But I should count it an honour and a pleasure, Mr. Maturin, if you would join me for dinner.
Oh, most happy to.
We'll wet the swab, and when it's handsomely awash, then perhaps we might try a little music.
Delighted. You speak of wetting a swab, sir?
Oh, it's a cant term we have in the Navy. The swab is this.
Oh, a badge of rank, I make no doubt.
To proclaim me Captain Aubrey to whomsoever may wish to know.
A most elegant decoration, so it is, but should you not have one on either shoulder?
Oh, I dare say I shall ship the other one by and by. But do you see, when first we put the epaulette on, we wet it by custom. That is, we drink a bottle or two of wine.
Well, I'm deeply honoured that you should invite me, sir. Captain.
The George, then, at 3 o'clock. Mr. Maturin?
A hoopoe.
A what?
That cinnamon-coloured bird with barred wings. Upopo epops. There.
How does it bear?
Ah, gone. Do you know, I've been hoping to see a hoopoe ever since I arrived, and in the middle of town. Happy Marn to have such denizens.
Oh, well, yes. Very glad for you, I'm sure.
At 3 o'clock, then, you say? At the George. Delighted.
Astonished, Captain Aubrey. Expected you yesterday afternoon. Captain Allen, too, expected you yesterday afternoon. Upon my word, you have an odd notion of taking over a command.
I only learned last night, sir. Indeed, this morning, between 1 and 2.
Yet the letter certainly went off in good time. The fault lies those people at your inn, no doubt. No relying upon your foreigner. Well, I give you joy of your command, Captain Aubrey, I'm sure. But how you intend to take the Sophie to sea with no people to work her out the harbour, I confess I can't imagine.
Has Captain Allen not left the ship?
Captain Allen must be 20 leagues away by now with his new command.
The palace has sailed?
At midnight, sir. You cannot expect the service to wait upon your pleasure. Allen took his lieutenant with him, his surgeon, all the promising midshipmen, and every real sailorman in the Sophie, I don't doubt.
Well, I must make the best of what I have, then.
Not many, sir. I was obliged to make a draft from what was left for harbour duty. I can let you have a chaplain, though.
Can he hand a reef and steer? If not, I'd rather be excused, thank you.
I will give you some advice, Captain Aubrey. This is what happens when a man goes a caterwauling all night at the governor's soiree, when he might have been aboard his own sloop in an officer-like manner. God strike me down, sir. It's a pretty state of affairs when a young fellow prefers the company of Italian fiddlers and eunuchs to taking possession of his own first command.
I'm so happy for you, Jack, to have your ship at last.
Well, she's not quite a first rate, of course.
Oh, come now, one glass is hardly enough to wet your swab, Jack.
But who in the world wants a blundering great 74 with never a hope of an independent cruise?
And an independent cruise is more your style, am I right? I give you joy, Jack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and so you do, Molly. I don't think I've ever in my life been so happy. like your lips better than your Madeira.
You make the most of them. If you intend to sail a-gathering prizes all up and down the Mediterranean.
Never you fret, dear Molly. I shall take no prizes for some time. This letter ordering my command was delayed. Damn curiously delayed.
Can you not guess how?
Oh, I can doubt it.
My husband does not like you. I can't think why.
I've been left not crew enough to work out of harbour, Molly.
Indeed. We shall have to see what we can do about that.
You have influence, Molly.
I have some. Jack.
Not enough to have got me my ship, however.
It is your merit alone, Captain Aubrey, has secured your command, as you well know. And not before time, neither.
Well, I should be able to meet your interest, Mr. Williams, at least.
Oh, your credit's a great deal more elastic now, Captain. Now you are, Captain, I should say. And as you are, Captain, I make so bold as to ask of you a favour, if I may.
Well, I'm obliged to you, sir. Yes,
my wife, sir, has a young cousin with child to go to sea, wants to rise to purser later on. He's a quick boy, David, writes a clear hand and good with figures.
Ship's clerk?
If you've no one else already in mind, sir.
Well, I tell you what. You find an able seaman to come along with him, sir, and I'll take your boy, David.
Are you in earnest, Captain?
Why, yes. Yes, I suppose I am. Yes, certainly.
You won't regret it, sir. David, I give you my word, Captain Aubrey. David!
Here I am, sir.
Mr. Williams tells me you write a fine, clear hand, sir. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, David, Captain Aubrey doesn't want to hear
it. Will you take me then, sir?
Should you like to write down a note for me first?
Oh, certainly, sir.
It's addressed to the master of the Sophie. Do you know his name, Mr. Williams?
Marshall, sir. William Marshall. Prime navigator, I'm told.
So much the better.
The angle YCB to which the yard is braced up is called the trim of the sails. Expressed by the symbol small b, this is the complement of angle DCI. It's impossible, Queenie. Quite impossible.
Isn't the trigonometry evident, though?
Why, no, Queenie. To tell the truth, it ain't evident at all.
Well, Jackie, darling, look. Try to remember what a cotangent is, and we'll begin again.
The mutual relation of the trim of the sails and the leeway.
You have to think of the ship as an oblong box.
I'm happy to make your acquaintance, gentlemen all. As there is yet no lieutenant, I shall myself read my commission to the ship's company.
Off! Hut!
By the Right Honourable Lord Keith, Knight of the Bath, Admiral of the Blue, Commander-in-Chief of His Majesty's...
Hereof, nor you, nor any of you may fail, as you will answer to the contrary at your peril.
Admiral Copperplate had, isn't it?
And a nice evocation of doom in the final paragraph.
Oh, you know, it's all mere form. Now, Mr. Maturin, allow me to press you to some of this ragout mutton.
Oh, willingly. You know, I haven't eaten so well for many a day. Nor, if I may say so, in such pleasant company.
Though it is provoking to find only three dishes instead of the five I ordered. Sanko Platos, I said.
Sanko Platos.
Explained everything most carefully in Spanish. Visage de porco, I said.
Yeah.
And the fellow nodded like a China mandarin. Now, heaven knows what this dish is by you, but hog's face it is not.
Delicious though it is. But might the misunderstanding not have arisen from your own care, sir, of explaining in Castilian Spanish?
Well, it seemed to me reasonable, speaking to Spaniards.
Perhaps you are forgetting that Catalan is the language of these islands.
Another language? Well, I had no notion of it. But no doubt it's much the same tongue. A putain, as they say in France.
No, nothing of the kind. Quite different language. Some would say better. And, by the way, sir, if you will allow, I believe the word in French is patois.
Oh, patois, just so. Yet I swear putain is a word. I learnt it somewhere. And you say this Catalan is quite different from your Spanish tongue.
Mm. As unlike as Gluck and Mozart.
Mm. You astonish me.
Well, I was brought up in these parts. Indeed, I must have spent more time here than in Ireland. And when first I went home, I worked all in Catalan. Mm. I found my studies came easier that way.
Mm. Capital to speak it, sir, like a native. Mm. What I call making good use of one's childhood. I wish I could say as much, having been in the Navy since I was breached.
Oh, you have a wealth of other experiences, then.
By God, Mr. Aubrey, you must think yourself the perfect young whoremonger. Bring aboard a bumboat girl to hide in my cable tier, would you?
I humbly beg your pardon, sir.
Oh, I think so. Perhaps you can give me a reason, too, then, why I shouldn't have you turned before the mast this time. Well?
No, sir.
Well, by God, I'll do it.
No.
Long past time for you to learn your duty it is. And don't stand there greeting, Aubrey. I'll not have it, do you hear me?
I was degraded to a common sailor 6 months before being rated midshipman again. Mm. But I was grateful for it in the end. Came to understand the lower deck through and through, and they were wonderful kind to me. But at the time, I cried like a girl, I can tell you. And now that same man who's given me my first command is him.
So, do you take Lord Keith to be the interest in your preferment?
Oh, damned if I can see it. Each time I met him was worse than the last.
Oh, I would give much to have seen what you must have come across in your mariner's life. I made such poor use of my time here. Great desert expanses of sterile, brutish ignorance. All the birds, insects, plants of my own childhood. I fastened upon the first opportunity to come back, accompanying Mr. Brown.
Oh, Brown of the dockyard, eh? Naval officer, know him well. Excellent musician.
No. My patient died at sea on the way here. Ah, poor fellow. He was in the last stages of phthisis, as I found when I opened his body.
You cut him up?
Mm. I thought it proper that his friend should know the cause.
Well, had I known you were a surgeon, sir, I don't think I could have resisted the temptation of pressing you.
Surgeons are excellent fellows, but I have not the honor of counting myself among them. I'm a physician.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Dear me, Dr. Maturin.
Yeah.
What a sad blunder on my part. But even so, I should likely have you run aboard the Sophie and kept under hatches until we was 20 leagues from here.
You have no surgeon?
And no likelihood of finding one. But can I not prevail upon you to go to see doctor?
I've never thought of it, sir.
Well, a man of war's a very thing for a philosopher. I can promise him some monstrously strange fishes, at least, and birds, of course, all sorts. Natural phenomena, meteors, and always a chance of prize money. Hmm. Even Aristotle would have been moved by the prize money.
But I am in no way qualified to be a naval surgeon.
Oh, bless you, Doctor. Do you but consider what we're usually sent. Surgeons, mates who know nothing of butchery, far less physic, who learn on the poor seamen as they go along.
Well, in all candor, sir, your offer tempts me exceedingly, finding myself, as I do, very much at a stand here in Menorca.
Well, I'm heartily sorry to hear that, Doctor.
Well, I thought my late patient a man of substance, but in the event, well...
I'm almost ashamed to profit by your embarrassment. And the pay is contemptible to a learned man, you know.
But then, for an inquiring mind, a ship must be a most instructive theatre.
Prodigiously so, I'm sure. Yeah. Make this first voyage as my guest. Come aboard tomorrow.
Is it so simple?
Oh, and I am captain, do you see? I can exercise a little patronage of my own.
And allow me to drink to your health, Captain.
With pleasure, Dr. Maturin. Oh, Lord, but it's a fine thing to play the great man once in a while.
Bold Sophie's commander sleeps tight in his bed. His dreams all of glory a spin in his head. Soon of foes and of prizes will clear sweep the sea. Sure, it's not just the ladies get fiddle-dee-dee. Though the girls, they grieve and cry lack-a-day, for their harbour's all empty when Jack sails away. And they wail and weep and pray for the sea to bring back plucky Jack and his fiddle-dee-dee.
What in God's name is this infernal confusion? Mr. What?
Here, sir.
This is a kingship, person, not the Margate Hoy. Clear those men forward and fast that bloody hammering!
If you please, Captain Aubrey. The generous cutters alongside with the men who were drafted off for harbour duty.
All of them?
With Captain Hart's compliments, sir.
You have influence, Molly.
I have some. Mm. Jack.
My compliments and best thanks to Captain Hart. Ah, Mr. Richards.
Good morning, sir.
This is a seaman you brought me?
That's right, sir.
Fine, stout fellow he looks too. What's his name?
Alfred King, if you please, sir.
Can you hand, reef and steer, King? What's that? Come, sir, haven't you got a proper civil tongue in your head?
If you please, sir, he has no tongue. The war's cut it out.
Oh, well, stir him for it. I'll read him in by and by. Mr. Watt, get those men to work. This is not Fiddler's Green. Mr. Babington.
Aye, sir.
Prepare our cutter. I'm going aboard the flagship. And when I come back, Mr. Watt, this deck will present a very different appearance, if you please.
Aye, aye, sir.
Albury, sir. Commanding His Majesty's sloop, Sophie. Oh, I beg your pardon, Mum. I thought Lord Keith was here expecting me.
Dear Jackie.
I...
Close your mouth, dear. You gape like a gob.
Queenie?
And you, who look so beautiful, so dressed up, new swab and all.
Old Queenie!
Let me put your neckcloth straight. Oh, come, Jackie. I should say you look as frightened of me as if I were a Frenchman.
Queenie, my dear. Well, I'm just so astonished to see you. Mm.
God damn it, blast my soul. You, sir, what the devil do you mean by so flirting with another man's wife?
Wife?
Admiral, Admiral.
Lady Keith.
This is the young man I was telling you about, Jack Aubrey.
Oh, aye.
I used to give him his bath, you know. Take him into my bed when he had bad dreams.
When I was a child, sir, that is. Queenie was my nurse, sir.
I was forgetting.
A great friend to the family,
oh,
sir.
I mind you, Captain Aubrey. Forgive me. I have such a power of captains.
And some of them, say he, are very mere rakes.
He could not have meant you, Jack. Oh. Mm.
Well, I thank my star for Queenie, I can tell you. God, I was like a boy mid again, caught under the cold eye of his.
But did you not know the Admiral had married?
Not to whom, Molly? Besides, well, he must be 60. And she... Dear God.
I wish I had seen your face.
And there I was, convinced my command must have been got by honourable wounds and my own merit.
But now you believe it was all Lady Keith.
Oh, dear Queenie. Yes, I make no doubt it was all her. But I have you to thank, Molly, for the return of my harbour duty men.
I would have given you a ship, Jack, were I an admiral's wife.
I already have all I could wish from you.
Well, perhaps you would not like it said that, like Selden, you got more by your pizzle than your practice.
Oh, you have a tongue on you, Molly Hart.
Should you like it, Jack Aubrey? Oh,
to have my ship, my Sophie, must be a price to pay. But by God, it'd be worth it.
In episode 1 of Master and Commander by Patrick O'Brien, Michael Troughton played Captain Jack Aubrey and Nigel Anthony, Dr. Stephen Maturin. Francis Jeter played Molly Hart, Lloyd Johnston, Captain Hart, Gavin Muir, Lord Keith, Margaret John, Queenie, Kristen Millward, Mercedes, Richard Pierce, David Richards and Young Jack, Derek Waring, Williams, Russell Floyd, Mr. Watt, Danny Canaber, Mr. Babington, and Tom Bevan, Ricketts Jr. Master and Commander is dramatized in 6 episodes by Roger Daines, with accordion, pipe, and singing performed by Trevor Allen Davis. The director is Adrian Bean.